Good morning, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. Glad you're here with us. You know, we've got a big weekend planned with the Cars and Coffee event on Saturday. This is Thursday, right? Yeah. So tomorrow is a lot of preparation for two things on Saturday. The Cars and Coffee at the AMC Theaters here in Greenville, right beside Gateway Ford Nissan. Is that clear enough? We want you here between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. It's a morning deal. That's when you drink coffee and will hopefully consume mass quantities of donuts because I have ordered and paid for them, and they are not whole wheat. So, yeah, I think they're just glazed, but they'll be good. You can get by with, you know, one or five. The coffee will be hot, provided by the Creamy Cup. I'm paying for it, though. So the coffee's on me, and they're going to have some other fancy coffee stuff. You know, I just get black. I'm weird. I step up, and I said, I just want a medium coffee, please. And they said, well, how do you like it? I said, black. And they said, don't you want anything in it? Any room for cream? No, just black coffee. Rich Colombian, you know, like Juan Valdez. That's what I want, and that's what they give me. And in addition to the Cars and Coffee event, there is a sale, basically an open to the public auction at the former Johnson City Ford location there on Princeton Road in Johnson City. And there's going to be, I don't know, they said initially 120 cars, classic cars are going to be sold at that auction. Hopefully they'll have more than that. I'm bringing five or six cars now. I've lost count. I think six is what I'm bringing. And I've got reserves set on them. Y'all know what that means, right? That's where you say, I'm not taking less than this number. And so if they don't bring that number, then I'm going to bring them home. And the reason I would do that is because, not because I'm being stubborn, it's simply because I believe that they will bring more. They will at least bring that number or higher through another venue. And that other venue is probably bringatrailer.com. So we shall see. We'll see how the classic car auction goes in Johnson City. I will also be there in Johnson City at around 5:30 on Friday. That's tomorrow for the preview. And they're going to have live music, and you'll be able to walk around, look at all the cars that are for sale. Look for me. I'll be there. Probably starting. I think we're leaving Greenville at 5, so I'll probably be there about 5:45, 6, walking around with my wife and a couple friends. We're going to make a date out of it. Doesn't that sound like fun? We are actually going to walk around, look at cars until the girls get bored, and then we're going to go eat somewhere. So that's what you do when you go to Johnson City, is you go out to eat. Unless you live in Kingsport, then you might just stick around there. Greenville, we don't have a lot of, you know, big choices. We've got Aubrey's or Mexican, and so or barbecue, and that's about it. And other than the fast foods, I love Mexican food. There's nothing wrong with it, but you know, you just get tired of it, and it's maybe not real healthy for me with my clogged up veins, arteries, and stuff. So we'll see. So be there or be square, right? So today I am getting my cars ready for the auction, which means, you know, cleaning them up, detailing as much as possible. They are what they are. I hate it when people say that, but they are. They have flaws, just like us humans do, but these cars are not perfect. The 56 Thunderbird, you know, it was restored like in the early 80s, I think 1981, and I have all the receipts and everything for that. Beautiful car from a distance, but the closer you get, the more you can see some flaws, but that's what makes it special. It is a rare car, relatively speaking rare. 1956 was a good-looking year. It does have a rear Continental kit and the bigger engine. But what am I doing? I'm cleaning the cars. I'm making them presentable. And I am typing up a window sticker. That's right, for these cars, so that the people that are perusing the cars can read about them. Because the history, I've told you this many times before, but the history is what matters about the cars. What's the story? You know, if it's a local car, if it's a car that's been, you know, same ownership for a long period of time, has a clean Carfax. Of course, 56 Thunderbird isn't going to even show up on the Carfax. You know, a lot of cars, if they don't have 17 digits in the VIN, then they won't show up, and you can't even search them. But, you know, if you have an interesting history, then you can get more for a car. So I'm putting that on the window sticker, and I typed all these up. I used my Greenville High School typing skills and typed them all up and then printed them out and took them to Staples. And then I had them laminated. Now why go to all that trouble? To make it special. For somebody just to walk by and see a piece of paper stuck in a windshield saying, you know, what the car is and what engine it has, that's not enough. You know, you want to tell the story of the car, and you want to do it in a compelling way. So I had these laminated. They'll be stuck in the windows, taped in the windows one way or another, or laying on the dash, and people see that. And just subconsciously, they're thinking, well, this must be a nice car because somebody had these laminated. You know, it's just those little touches. I'm kidding in a way, but those little touches do make a difference when it comes to selling cars. I am selling a car for an individual that I know as well. It's a 1998 Mercedes-Benz 500 SL. So if you know somebody that's wanting an inexpensive supercar from the late 90s, then this is it. It has a hard top. It's a two-door Mercedes, but it was the top of the pecking order at that time. 5-liter, 320 horsepower, plenty of power. Very heavy, safe car, white, tan leather, with only 48,000 miles. And the story is that it was bought new over at Skyland Mercedes-Benz in Asheville and has spent its entire life, other than some trips to the beach, in Greenville, Tennessee. And a single family owned. You know, that's the kind of car, vintage car. I mean, you may not call a 98 model vintage, but it's getting there. I mean, is vintage 20 years old, 25 years old? That just shows how old we are when we think, well, 98, I've got shoes older than that. And that's true. I've got T-shirts older than that. My wife tries to get me to get rid of them, but I just can't. That car would be a great car for somebody who wants something older, that is reliable, that they can drive around and have fun in, put the top down. I'm thinking it's going to bring maybe 20 or less. Reserve, I haven't set one. But who knows? I mean, somebody might step up. It's a auction, not just for dealers. So it's open to the public. So, yes, you can go there and you can bid. Now, you have to sign up to bid. Make sure you have money in the bank before you do that. Nobody likes to sell a car to somebody who can't really buy it. So I'm not sure as far as buying fees and stuff like that. You can call Dealers Auto Auction in Johnson City and find out. It cost me like $150 to actually enter these cars into the auction, whether I sell them or not. So that paid for all of their effort, I guess, to put this together and help pay for the band. I think it's Fleetwood Mac. Not really. But that would be good. I like Stevie Nicks, but I like McVeigh lady better. I think her voice was better. But anyway, I'm going to take my first break, give you relief, and I'll be back in just a minute. Okay, I am back with this limited edition of My Car Guru. You know, in somewhere around 1978, might have been late 77, I was sitting on my bed in my fraternity house. Yep, I was in a fraternity. I regretted that at one point. But, you know, now it's okay. I mean, I'd rather live at the fraternity house than live in a dorm. That was just me. And plus my brother joined, so I kind of followed in his footsteps. But I was sitting on the bed in my fraternity house, and I was reading Sports Illustrated. And it was just going through there, and all of a sudden I saw an ad for a Mazda, a new Mazda GLC is what they called it. This was the end of 77. And so my dad had attempted to get a franchise called Fiat. And, you know, the fact that he didn't get it was probably a blessing. Well, no, it definitely was a blessing because Fiat wasn't long for this world. It was interesting how that happened. My dad had made all the arrangements, applied for the franchise. Big, long, drawn-out process. And he was waiting at the dealership for the Fiat guy to come and sign all the papers. And he's supposed to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, 9 o'clock came around, and no Fiat man. 9:15, 9:30, Dad called the hotel and just see what was going on. And they said, well, Mr. Lawson, he checked out. He left this morning. Oh, not again. Because my dad had signed up for a dealership in Lenoir, North Carolina, to be the Chevy dealer there. And this was before he ended up buying the dealership in Greenville. And that dad was at the hotel and called the dealer, or the dealer called him. His phone rang. He was shaving, just had half of the shaving cream off his face, and answered the phone. And they said, the guy said that owned the dealership, Max, I just can't do this. I cannot sell it. And well, my dad was, what is the word, crestfallen, really upset. But anyway, he came home, and we ended up coming back and, long story short, becoming the Chevrolet dealer in Greenville, Tennessee. But here we go again. You know, so he thought he was going to be a Fiat dealer, and the guy didn't show up. Come to find out, the Fiat man and another guy, I won't say his name on the air. I think he's gone, though, now. They happened to be at the bar at the hotel in Greenville at the same time. So what are you doing here? I'm here to sign up Max Lawson for the he's the Chevy dealer here in town. Oh, no, Max Lawson. I'm here to sign him up as the Fiat dealer. Really? I want to be a Fiat dealer. And a little bit of money changed hands, and somebody else became the Fiat dealer. So that was a good thing. But so I'm reading this magazine about Mazda, and I called Dad up from the fraternity house before we had cell phones. Remember those days? And I said, Dad, have you ever looked at Mazda? And he said, well, they're the ones with the rotary engines. I said, yeah, but they're coming out with a piston engine car called the GLC, and it looks like a winner. He said, okay, well, I'll check into it. Well, about 3 months later, we're a Mazda dealer, and there are next to our Chevy store, or at our Chevy store, which was on Church Street at the time, terrible location, but that's where it happened to be. And they here came three truckloads of Mazdas with GLCs, and I think they had an RX4, an RX4 wagon, an RX3. Those were rotary engine cars, and I think a Mazda B Series truck, which actually was made by Mazda and eventually was sold by Ford as the Ford Courier truck. You may remember that. And so here we were, a Mazda dealer, and that was in 1978. Then shortly thereafter, Mazda started hitting home runs. Now, before, Mazda had fouled out, you know, with the rotary engine. It was they perfected it. They didn't invent the rotary engine. A guy named Wankel did, last name, W-A-N-K-E-L. He didn't perfect it. Mazda did, and made it a viable engine and produced it. The first Mazda with a rotary engine was called the Cosmo. Those vehicles now, and it's not from Seinfeld, Cosmo Kramer. It was actually called the Cosmo, and those cars are changing hands at close to $500,000 to $1 million. It's amazing what those cars are worth. Beautiful car. But it was not a big seller, and so Mazda started putting the rotary engine in the RX-4 and the RX-3, and they still didn't sell because they got terrible gas mileage. But then something happened, the GLC, and then the RX-7 came out. And the RX-7, I think it came out in 1979. I remember the first one we got had 100 horsepower and was a direct competitor for the Datsun 240Z, and the car sold like hotcakes. I mean, basically, they sold for MSRP for the first 5 or 6 years. That's how hot they were. We would get maybe 4 or 5 of them in a month and sell them as fast as we could get them. At the time, the Mazda dealer in Johnson City was selling quite a few more than us. That was called Classic Motors. I don't know if you remember them or not. Also, Anderson Ford was the Mazda dealer in Kingsport, and then Bill Gatton became the Mazda dealer in Bristol. But so Mazda had a pretty good run. You know, they had the RX-7, and then not too long after that came out with the Mazda 626. And it was a home run as well because it was priced very competitively versus like the offerings from Honda and from Toyota. And that's what was Mazda's forte, was great cars at a great price. Now, what other Korean car companies duplicated that and became wildly successful while Mazda decided they were as good as Honda, which they weren't? And, well, I mean, the cars were, but the reputation wasn't. And so what car companies, that's right, Hyundai and Kia, they duplicated that marketing plan. At first, Hyundai came out with horrendous cars that the banks didn't even want to finance. And then they got their game together and started producing good cars at a considerable value. And they still, they're higher today. They're more comparable in price, but they still have a price advantage. And today, well, let's go back. Baby boomers like me, I mean, we never even considered Hyundai or Kia or something like that. Today, Hyundai and Kia are just, you know, they're staples, right? They're like going and buying Kleenex or toilet paper or something. I mean, they're as common as just about anything, as Honda and Toyota to young folks, because as long as they've been alive, there has been a Hyundai and a Kia. So, you know, Mazda was very successful. They came out with an all-new truck. I think that was in 85. They came out with an all-new truck, and oh my goodness, we sold the heck out of those things. And so did the other Mazda dealers. So Mazda was a driving force in the Tri-Cities until they thought they were as good as Honda and started raising their prices. Mazda's disadvantage was that they had no domestic production. With the exception of a brief partnership with Ford Motor Company at Flat Rock, Michigan, where they built Mazda 626s, MX6s, and what was that other? Oh, Ford built the Ford Probe. Remember that car? So after, you know, with that, other than that, they didn't have any manufacturing presence, so they had to charge more. And their prices, they had a price disadvantage. And Honda was building cars here. Toyota was building cars here. Subaru started building cars here. And really put the hurts on Mazda. And then we got to the point where when I made the decision after being a Mazda dealer for 40 years that we just, you know, I'd rather have Nissan. So I told Mazda, I said, I hate to do this, guys, but you can have Mazda back. I'm selling 10 Mazdas a month. I'd rather sell 40 Nissans a month. And they understood. They took the franchise back, and my dad had passed away at that point. And, you know, I felt bad about it, and it was a kind of an emotional drag on me. But it's funny, the last Mazda that we had in stock was a 2018 Miata. And to me, that was the best car that Mazda ever built. And it was just fitting for me to keep that car. And it's out here in the showroom at Gateway right now. And I'm glad that I did keep that car. But Mazda had an interesting history. And they're really building good cars right now. Mazda is getting big now. Large electrified products are getting ready to come out from production. Mazda has a new partnership with Toyota. And they're building, I think it's in Alabama, that they're going to be building these new CX-30s and CX-50s and CX-90s, I think is what they're called. I still don't like it when companies use numbers and letters to identify cars. They have no personality. But that's just me. Well, folks, I'm going to take my last break, and I will be back with more in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. Just think about all the decisions, automotive-related decisions, that you're going to have to be making over the next 5 to 10 years. Yes, you've got some big decisions ahead of you. You're going to have to decide if you're going to jump on board the electric revolution. Because probably if you're in the market, I'm going to say 2 to 3 years from now, electric vehicles will be a lot more mainstream. Instead of having like one Ford, which is the Mach-E, to choose from that's electric, you'll probably have, well, I mean, I guess every model that we sell will have an electric version, even the F-150. And that's not just true for Ford. That's true for everybody. I think Honda and Mazda and maybe, well, I think Toyota will be almost all electric. I think Honda's going to still do some internal combustion engines, and, of course, Mazda will. You know, Mazda's even talking about coming out with some clean diesels. good luck with that. But, you know, you're going to have to make a decision. And hopefully it will be a little bit easier because the range anxiety won't be as big of an issue. There will be, I don't know, 3 years from now, there probably won't be much better charging infrastructure. But I may be wrong. Maybe they'll put the pedal to the metal and you won't have to freak out when you're getting ready to go to the beach. Where are we going to charge up? You know, and the other thing is the time that it takes to charge a vehicle. So, you know, again, you're just going to have to think about it. And you'll just have to reflect on your use. You know, how do you drive? How many miles do you put on a day, a week? What are you going to do when you travel? You're going to keep it one gas engine and one electric. That's what I would do if I were you. You know, I'd have the wife or, you know, maybe drive the electric and you drive the gas or something like that. Then you've always got something in case the Koreans launch a EMP strike against us and knock out all the electric cars. Hopefully that won't happen. But you never know. You got to be prepared. Also, in that case, if we have an EMP strike, you probably need to find you a 1959, maybe an Edsel or something like that, that doesn't have any microprocessors on it. And it'll start even if we have an EMP strike. I just want to let you in on that secret. Doesn't have to be an Edsel. Pretty much anything before 1970, you should be okay. Well, folks, thanks for listening. Don't forget the make plans tomorrow night for the reception, I guess, and preview at the car auction up in Johnson City on Princeton Road, there where the Ramey Ford and Johnson City Ford used to be. That's where the Dealer's Auto Auction is, and it's not just for dealers, so go there. I'll see you there. And then Saturday, Cars and Coffee at 8 a.m. at the AMC Movie Theater here in Greenville, and then starting at 10 o'clock, the actual auction starts up in Johnson City where you can raise your hand and buy a car, buy a vintage car. Well, good luck with that, and I will see you tomorrow.